Well, it is a joy to be here tonight. I'm certainly glad to be here with Brother Ernie and Joy Ayers. I've been knowing these folks for over 20 years. And I just told Cameron tonight, Brother Ernie shouting tonight, I said he was doing that 20 years ago when I first met him. And I appreciate folks that have not changed. I appreciate folks that love old-fashioned worship. And they don't come any better than the Joy Ayers are my friends. And I appreciate them singing that. I didn't know which song they recorded several songs. I didn't know they was going to sing The Empty Chair. But I couldn't help but think about my friend back here, Miss Wilda Keever. Old Preacher Charlie made the trip to the other land. And boy, I tell you, I'm glad that God does give the grace to fill an empty chair. Because we're all going to have an empty chair somewhere in our life. But I'm glad that God will give the grace to fill an empty chair. I appreciate Brother Dagenhart and his friendship to preachers. A lot of preachers act like they're mad at other preachers. I'm not mad at you and I'm not your enemy. We're on the same team. I want to try to help you if I can. And I appreciate the Lord and His goodness. Psalm 51, if you have your Bibles. Psalm chapter 51, I want to give you just a simple thought tonight, and I will try to get out of the way. I'm looking forward to hearing our other preacher tonight. I appreciate him. I've been blessed to preach with him now a couple of times down here, and I've always been fed by his preaching, and I know we will be tonight. Psalm chapter 51. And I want to read just a few verses, and I'm going to give you my thought tonight, and I'll be through. Psalm 51, you find the context of the scripture that we're reading tonight. It is concerning David. And David is in this psalm. It is when David has fallen into the sin that he committed with Bathsheba. Not only did he commit adultery, but then he had a good man taken to the battlefield and left him to be killed to try and cover his sin. That's a pretty horrible sin if you ask me. But here in this psalm, David has been confronted by Nathan the prophet, and he said, "Thou art the man, David." And here in this psalm, David is now brokenhearted, and he is repenting of his sin. The Bible said in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." Skip to verse 10, please. David says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Verse 16. "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. And I pray, God, that you would help me for just a few minutes in this place, that I can bring the message, God, that you would have me to among this people. Lord, condition our hearts tonight to receive your word. And Lord, for that one that has a specific need tonight, God, would you meet it according to your mercy and according to your grace. And Lord, we're going to thank you for all you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. David in this psalm is getting right with God after his sin. He's come to the place that his heart is broken. His life is somewhat broken now, in that there's a lot of damage that has come with his sin. Sin is a scarring thing. Sin is a thing that breaks men's lives. I don't know that I've ever seen a day that there are more broken people than they are in the culture that we live in today. Everywhere I look, it seems like someone is broken. I thought about this. David, even though David was a man after God's own heart, he sinned against God and he sinned against his fellow man. But yet David had a heart that he acknowledged his sin. You see, that's the problem today. Nobody wants to acknowledge that they've done anything wrong. You can't get right until you say, God, you're right and I'm wrong, and I need you to help me. But David acknowledged his transgressions. When the prophet looked at him and said, thou art the man, he didn't haughtily walk away and say, oh, you need to get somebody else. No, David said, you're right, I am the man. And God restored David. God brought David back. You say, now, preacher, the Bible said the sword never left his house. The consequences of sin will go with you the rest of your days. But you'd be remiss to think that David did not finish out his journey here in this world out of the will of God. Matter of fact, if you want to know what God said about David, one of the last things said about David in the Word of God is in the book of Acts chapter 13 verse 46, said that David served his generation in the will of God and fell on sleep. In other words, David died. God said David served his generation in the will of God. One of the last statements wasn't about David messed up somewhere back down the road. It wasn't about David come short. It wasn't about none of that, because when it was all said and done at the end, God said he got it right. I restored him, and he finished out in the will of God. I got to thinking about that. We're living in days where it seems like people are broken. I saw something. I was at the house the other day, and I want to tell you a little story. I brought something with me here tonight, and if you can see what I got here, I'll hold it up. It's a porcelain, I guess a ceramic vase. I bought this vase years ago. I was preaching a message, and I wanted to illustrate over there where the widow woman, where Elisha told her to go borrow some vessels, borrow not a few. And she only had one pot of oil in the house. And the Bible said when she borrowed those vessels, she brought them in, and God began to pour into them. I preached a message titled on when God fills up a pot that you ain't got. I'm glad I serve a God that can fill up the one I got, but he can fill up ones I don't have. And I bought this to take it with me in meetings, and it's just a cheap little old vase, but there's a story behind this vase that goes beyond being bought to use as an illustration in a message. Matter of fact, this has now changed. This vase has now changed. I was driving back from a meeting. I'd been preaching in revival meeting, and I had it in the back seat of my truck in the floorboard, and I was coming down a hill, and I had to hit my brakes. I had it in a plastic bag, and all of a sudden I heard a clinking noise when I had to hit my brakes, and I didn't know what happened. When I got home, I got out, and my vase had been broken in half. Matter of fact, you can see the lines. I want to tell you a little bit about the lines that's on it here. But it was broken half, had several pieces. It was just a cheap little old vase. I could have said, you know what, I'm going to throw it away. I can probably find another one to replace it pretty easy. But I liked it. I said, I like it. And I said, I don't know if I can put it back together or not, but I'm going to see if I can. And I went about the task of, I went and got me some glue, and I found the piece that fit here, and I found the piece that fit there, and I finally found the piece, and I stuck it together, and it worked. It came back together, and as I was looking at it one day, I got to thinking about, I would take it then to meetings, and I would preach, and I would use it as an illustration. And if I didn't tell anybody there, nobody wouldn't know that it had been broken at one time. Only I knew the story behind it. I'll tell you what brought me to this, though. I was studying on brokenness the other day, and I was looking through some things, and I ran up on some information about something that I'd never heard of. And it was just really intriguing to me. And I ran up on a story. They said, in Japan in the 5th century, there was a Japanese military leader that had a porcelain bowl or a ceramic bowl that he really liked, and said it got broke one day. and said he really liked it, so he commissioned some of his soldiers, said, see if you can take this to somebody and see if they can fix it for me. Well, they brought it back, and they had stapled it together, and he didn't like that. He said, I don't like this. He said, get some of the artisans to see if they can do something with it. And they took it to the artisans, and from that there became an ancient practice among the Japanese of taking broken pottery and restoring it. The official name of it is kintsugi. Has anybody ever heard of kintsugi? Y'all ain't Japanese. Kintsugi is what it's called. How they repaired that bowl was this. They took the pieces and they formed a resin, a glue, if you will, and putting into the glue, what they did, they sprinkled gold dust into the glue and mixed it up so that when it was put back together, that gold would gleam in those places where it had been broken, and all of a sudden it became a beautiful piece of art. It became more valuable than what it was before it was broken. Matter of fact, when they fixed it back, it became a one of a kind. Not another like it in the world anywhere. And it was all because, I was reading the definition of kintsugi, and it said this, it is the art of embracing damage. The art. In other words, when something got broke, they didn't reject it and say, let's throw it away. It ain't worth nothing now. Somebody looked at it and said, you know, I kind of like it. And they said, let's see if we can't put it back together. Amen. I'm glad I'm here to tell you tonight that there is a God that's able to take your broken and turn it into something beautiful. Hallelujah to his name. Amen. I begin to think about that here. Matter of fact, I got this down, and I even though I didn't repair it originally like they did it, I said, you know what? I repaired it so that the mending was hidden. That's the way people want it nowadays. They want God to fix their brokenness, but they don't want nobody to know that he's fixed it. But I'm glad that God sometimes fixes us in such a way that he wants to display it to others. I got to thinking about this art form. Matter of fact, I took some gold paint and I traced along the lines of where this was broken. And I thought to myself, if you go in the store, everybody think it's like that off the, they'll say what a beautiful piece of art it is. But all it is a broken vessel that somebody put back together. Somebody cared enough about. Hallelujah. Said it's worth keeping. It's worth doing something with. I don't know about you, but I'm glad there's a God. No matter how broken you are, no matter what you've been through, how you've been battered, there's a God that cares about you. And I'm glad he can put back the broken pieces. Hallelujah to his name. I thought about that technique that they use, and I'm going to use the three aspects that they use as my points tonight. You said, well, you ought to preach out of the Bible. I'm preaching about David. If you don't think God put a man back together when God said the last thing he said about him, he finished his in the will of God, then you're crippled too high for crutches, friend. I begin to study that. When they go to putting that pottery back together, if you want to look it up, you can look it up on the internet. You go on there and you can see some of them vessels. They got them $1,000 price on them. I'm talking about more than I can afford. And all it is a broken pot that somebody put back together. You see, they use that gold dust. You know what? Gold is symbolic, really, of a couple of things. Matter of fact, the first mention, do you realize gold's mentioned 400 times in the Bible? That's a lot of times to be mentioned in a book. And you know the first place gold is mentioned? In the second chapter of Genesis, which is talking about the Garden of Eden and that river that was flowing from Havilah, said there was gold in the land. And this is the word it associated with gold. It said the gold was good. In other words, the first mention in the scriptures of gold is associated with the word good. Amen. I thought about many times gold represents love. I've done many of a wedding where I look at the groom and I'll say, do you have a token of your love for your bride? He'll look at me and say, yes, I do, a ring. He'll hand me that golden ring, and that is a token of love. I thought about how God, when He puts the broken pieces of our life back together, it's all because of His love and all because He wants to do something good in the lives of those that are broken. Amen. I thought about that, those aspects of this putting back together, this restoring artwork. I thought about this. There's three things that they said about this, and I'll give you these and I'm done. I'll give you the technical name they use for it, and then I'll give you my take on it. The first aspect is called crack joinery. That's a weird sounding thing, isn't it? I call that the fastening aspect of the restoration. In other words, if you're going to restore it, you got to find the pieces. You see, some of them pieces got rough edges on them. Sharp edges. You ever seen somebody in brokenness? And a lot of times they'll push the ones away that loves them the most. I mean, rough and harsh. But them rough edges, you got to find the place where they fit. And then you got to put that glue in there, that gold, that love, that goodness. And you got to put it together. And let me tell you something right now. A lot of people trying a lot of things to pull their broken pieces together with. But the best thing you can put it together with is the love of Jesus Christ. Hey, man, the goodness and the mercy of God. Hallelujah. I tell you right now, what will put your life back together, what will help you, praise God, it'll be the love of God in your life. It'll be the love and His mercy that He gives. Hallelujah to His name. Oh, it just puts it back together and it sticks. You say, but preacher, everybody can see it's been broken. Well, you're missing the point. They don't put it back together like this so that you can see it's been broken. They want you to see where it's been mended. See, you're too busy looking at where they've been broken. What God wants to show you is where they've been put back together. Hallelujah to His name. I'm glad there's a day when my life was a broken mess. I'm glad when I couldn't put the pieces back together again. Y'all heard that little nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but they forgot one thing, the king could. The king's men couldn't do it, and the king's horses. But I'm glad, praise God, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, hallelujah, He's in the business of putting back together the broken pieces of our lives. Hallelujah. I preached this message at my church, and I had a dear lady in my church. She's a little older than me. As a matter of fact, she's my first cousin, white-haired. As I walked out of the church, she met me in the parking lot, tears streaming down her face. This is what she said, Brother Ernie. She said, Brother Leonard, she said, I want to thank you for not looking down on us broken people. She said, Brother Leonard, my life back yonder, I broke a lot of stuff. I broke it, but she said, I want to thank you for not looking down on us broken people. You know what I said to her? I said, sis, we're all broken. Yeah. Every last one of you. Oh, I know some of you come in here with your chest stuck out and you think, boy, praise God, I'm God's gift to Christianity, but I got news for you. You was broken by a fall one day. You was as lost as a man could be, but thank God for the day that He picked you up out of the miry clay. Thank God for the day that He picked you up and He put you back together. Hallelujah to His name. There's the crack joinery. That's the fastening aspect. And I got news for you. Ever since He stuck me back together, I've stayed that way. Amen. Then there's the second aspect, and I got to get these quick, get done, not taking too much time. There's the peace method that they used to put this together. They said on occasion during the breaking process, a piece will be disintegrated to the point that you can't put it back. They put everything back together, though, and there's a hole left there. So when they go to putting that, what they do is they just fill that up with that gold stuff. In other words, the hole gets filled up with something more valuable than what was there to begin with. I'm a preaching to a bunch of cracked pots tonight, and some of you got a hole in your heart tonight. The enemy's laid you low. The enemy's brought you down. But I'm glad there's a God that wants to fill every empty space of your life. I'm glad there's a God that wants to fill those holes that the enemy has brought your way. I'm glad he wants to fill it with the love of a holy God tonight. That's the peace method. I call that, praise God, when I thought about that first one, was the fastening aspect. Call that the filling aspect. Wherever I'm a coming short, he fills it. Whenever I need it, he takes up the slack. Amen. And I need a lot of taking up the slack, Brother Pete. Can I say to you, I'm glad there's a God that can fill the emptiness in your heart tonight. Some of you may be here tonight with a hole you didn't create. Maybe an emptiness. Somebody may have walked out on you. And there's a hole there. I got news for you. There's a God that loves you. Wants to fill that hole in your heart tonight. Oh, that's the fastening aspect and the filling aspect. And this is what I like. The last aspect that they use in creating this restorative art on these vessels is called, this is a weird sounding name, the joint call. Got to thinking about that. I wrote down what that means. It said, where a similarly shaped piece but a non-matching fragment is used to replace the original piece. They said sometimes it's broken so bad the original piece is gone. So sometimes they'll get a piece from somewhere else. And it won't fit exactly, but they'll bring it in there and they said oftentimes they would bring so many of them in and put it in that it became a patchwork pattern, almost like a patchwork quilt. Have you ever thought about this? How God can take your brokenness, pieces that's been blown into a million pieces in your life, and God can bring a piece from somewhere you wasn't expecting and stick it in. And make something beautiful out of it. I've seen people that had a marriage that was not beautiful. I've seen people that lived through a marriage and barely survived one that about destroyed them. And I've seen after that one was destroyed, God would bring a new piece in somewhere. I know I'm not for divorce, don't get me wrong. But you're like an ostrich with your head in the sand thinking it ain't happening in these days. More of it's a-happening than I want to see happen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a bunch of these egghead preachers wants to throw people away when the devil blows up their life. If any time, I didn't mean to call them egghead preachers. But if the title fits, just go ahead and wear it. I had a man one time came to my church. He pulled up in the parking lot with his family. He's a member of another church up the road, and I knew him well. He's a good man. But he had he'd been in the military. And while he was in the military stationed overseas, his wife took off and left him. When he came back, he had nothing to go back to. Had a little boy he was trying to raise. Up there in the church that he's in, somebody got the bright idea that he wasn't worth nothing no more because he'd been through that. And said, we can't let you do this and we can't let you do that. And I understand there's some things God won't let you do in that. But he said, he got out that morning, he left his family in the car, and I met him in the parking lot, and he looked at me, come walk with his head down. He said, preacher, he said, you probably know all about, and I had heard. He said, preacher, If you don't want me to bring my family in, I'll get back in the car and I'll leave today. That's what he said. I grabbed him. I said, boy, you get your family out of that car and you bring them in here to this house of God.
You better believe it.
I said, you bring that family in here.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that little boy he brought in there now is our Sunday school superintendent.
Amen.
Got a family and children of his own. I'll tell you, there's a God that's interested. He can bring pieces that you don't even suspect. And I'm glad he can put it back together. I'm glad he can make something beautiful. Hallelujah to his name. The joint call. Says, we ain't got one right here. Where can we find something? You see, God, I'm glad, is good at repairing the damage. They said this word, kintsugi, means the embracing of damage. But they don't just embrace damage to be embracing it. They embrace it that it may be made beautiful, that it may be restored. I don't know where you're at tonight, if this message got anything to do with you or not. But I know this, there's a God that can make something beautiful out of a cracked pot. He can make something beautiful out of something broken. Matter of fact, I wonder sometimes if he can really use us real good until we've been broken a little bit. Some of the greatest helpful men of God I know are men of God. It's been through some brokenness. But I got news for you. I'm glad there's a God that loves you. He wants to put you back together. He wants to show you off to the world of what he can do to a life who'll turn their heart as David did. David said, Lord, I know the sacrifice you want. You want a broken spirit and a contrite heart. I'm glad when you come like that, business will pick up. Father, I'll thank you for what you've done for us tonight. I pray you take the message to help somebody here in this meeting. Father, you know the hearts of each one, and I pray, Lord, that you'd bless us now. Lord, help us, I pray. Bless our dear brother that comes in a little while. God, use him, I pray, in a special way. Lord, I pray you take this message now to the hearts of this people. Lord, somebody here maybe got a hole. Feel like a hole the size of Texas in their heart. God, I pray, would you help them tonight to know, God, that you're able to fill it. You're able to help them, God. I pray you do just that. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Preacher, you come tonight.